Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. A man from Yuma has been shot and killed by police. He didn't listen to them and was holding a machete. Learn more about what happened after he charged at police, YumaDailyNews.com. Over the weekend, Yuma Lodge 24 hosted its annual Peace Officer Memorial Day of the Fallen Officer Monument. Organizers say it's a way to honor and remember the dedicated law enforcement professionals. Read how the event went, YumaDailyNews.com. Americans have bet more than $125 billion on sports betting in the last 4 years since the U.S. cleared the way for all 50 states to offer it. That's more than the net income of American farmers last year. Learn more about the gambling movement on the website. Highlights between the Padres and the Chicago Cubs have been updated at YumaDailyNews.com. Read the latest and catch all the action from the San Diego Padres on local radio, right here in Yuma. Find out where to tune in on our website. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block. Like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year. And your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
This hour is brought to you by Hospice of Yuma, the Yuma community's only nonprofit hospice care. To receive the best hospice care, call 343-2222. Hospice of Yuma, there is a difference.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. Welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason, Garner, and Hanson. Today's attorney will be Adam Hanson. Yeah. Howard Blitz is in the studio with us today. Russ Clark, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'm Cody Beeson, and we just want to welcome you to the show and obviously invite any calls that have to do with estate planning, because that's really what the Deason, Garner, Hanson firm references and deals with is estate planning. But at the end of the day, this show deals with all things life, death, and the law, which I really love, Howard, in the sense that we have an opportunity to have a couple attorneys address, you know, what's going on in the news and what's going on in life, because there's so much more than just talking about estate planning.
Yeah, that's true, Cody. And I appreciate the fact that Adam and Sean want to do this. I appreciate the fact that they allow me to even come on their show.
I thought it was such a great idea to have the constitutional side of it, because that plays into so many things that we see in today's news, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate the fact that they're interested in this so much that they want to have discussion, because these are the kinds of discussions we need to continually have. Whenever we're looking at a situation or what's going on in the news or what's being discussed, we need to bring up, especially, well, it's all about government. it seems like everything we discuss is about what government is or is not doing.
Unfortunately.
Well, I don't know. Fortunately or unfortunately, but it's important that we discuss, okay, is this the realm that government is supposed to be involved in? We need to have these kinds of discussions. What is it that we want government to do? What is government? And is it the government's responsibility to do whatever it is that we're talking about. If it is, fine. If it isn't, okay, then how do we remove, extricate government from that? You know, these are the kinds of discussions that need to be made, and I appreciate the fact that they're willing to discuss this kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the great things that I love that you bring in here, and it's, I think, always on you, is the Constitution. And I don't know how many times, whether we'd be talking about Ukraine or whatever happens in, you know, a courtroom, but we go back and reference, what does the Constitution say? What should we be doing? What's our guiding directions here?
Well, don't forget, the Constitution was written to spell out exactly what the national government is supposed to do, what activities they're allowed to be involved in. That was the whole point of it. To a lot of people, I guess, at the time, the articles weren't getting the job done. And so now they felt like they needed a central government. But the challenge was, okay, how do you create the central government, then at the same time not allow it to become so powerful that it becomes what they just got through spending 8 years of war getting rid of?
Well, and there's a certain... All right, so back then, obviously not everybody agreed, but there is still a certain common ground that we I think, don't have today, or at least we don't even attempt to have today. You know, like, you can't support that side because now that's going to be used against you in the next campaign, and it's going to be twisted and turned, and there's just really no meeting in the middle anymore. It's become so fractured, and, you know.
Yeah, it's gotten personal, too, and we need to have the debate. Okay, is whatever we're discussing, whether it's abortion, immigration, war in Ukraine, it doesn't matter what the subject matter is, which level of government is supposed to be the primary government entity that's supposed to be involved in this thing? The founders who wrote the Constitution, the guys who wrote the Constitution, only wanted to give the national government very limited and specific duties. Otherwise, everything is going to be done by either the states or the people themselves. And that's why you want the lowest level of government that you can think of, which would be the individual himself, actually.
Like the home, the family.
Yeah. But you want the lowest level of government addressing whatever the issue that you're being discussed at. I think the founders, in their deliberations, you know, thought that, well, you know, the national government needs to be involved with international trade, or international, not necessarily trade, but international goings on between countries.
But in a way, like when we were trying to gain support from France, they kind of wanted to see some of that, you know?
Yeah, it was hard to have 13 countries negotiate with France.
Right.
Because that's what we were. Don't forget, these were 13 individual countries, the country of Delaware, the country of Pennsylvania. And I know we think of them as states today, but we've got to go back in time and get in the minds and the perceptions of the people living at the day of the day. And that's what these states were. They were individual countries. So how are you going to have 13 individual countries negotiate? So that was one of the things. Plus, they needed some kind of an organized army to fight Great Britain. I mean, it was very difficult to have 13 individual countries, but that's what it was. You had to get all 13 in agreement. Well, that was darn near impossible.
Well, they worked against each other. In fact, the Britain worked them against. They'd say, oh, Delaware can do it for a nickel less.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so we didn't have a consistent policy, and it hurt us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they took some of these powers that every state had and said, look, we're going to give them over. We're going to turn it over to a national government and let the national government deal with it. The states get to do everything else, which is basically quite a bit. Or the people. That's what the 10th Amendment is all about. Okay? It's been
weakened quite a bit.
Huh?
It's been weakened.
Oh, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that the states have succumbed. The states continued. Well, if we don't succumb, then we won't get the federal dollars. Well, the federal dollars, you got to understand where the federal dollars are coming from in the first place.
You bribe the people with their own money.
Exactly. And so the state legislatures really need to stand up against a national government when the national government is doing things that it's out of its purview through the U.S. Constitution. That's why it's important to know and understand the Constitution so that we know when the national government is out of kilter, when it's not doing things that it's not supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back with more. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law right here on 560 KBLU.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
The high pressure that has kept our temperatures hot this weekend is starting to weaken, and that will mean some slightly cooler weather. Still hot today, 104, 99 tomorrow, 97 Wednesday. When you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay, a Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. B21. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Dive into Quachan Casino Resort's $63,000 Splash of Cash Pool Giveaway May 14th and 28th for the chance to win your share of over $23,000 cash. Then, your backyard dreams of an in-ground pool could come true on May 28th. Play with your Rewards Club card to earn entries. Not a member yet? Sign up today for your chance to win up to $1,000. So much, so close. Quachan Casino Resort.
Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
And Doug. Chances are you're jamming in your car right now. And since Liberty Mutual customizes car insurance, so you only pay for what you need, Limu and I are going to show you some safe car dance moves. Hit it. Everybody, check your blind spots real quick. Now hands on the wheel. Put them 10 in 2 and move your head like a bird do. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got our constitutional guru, Howard, and Cody has been filling in for me as I was darting through traffic trying to get here. It's one of those days where you hit every red light. Yes. And you curse something.
Isn't it funny, though, when you're in a hurry, you hit every red light. When you're not in a hurry, for some reason, you hit every green light. This is kind of weird.
And I'm operating on very little sleep. It was kind of a quick trip for me this weekend. My wife and I, we flew up to Tri-Cities, Washington State. Ooh. And my grandfather died about a week and a half ago. And so his funeral was over the weekend, and I've got six children, and the price for getting up there obviously is risen because of the gas prices right now. So it was prohibitive to take all my kids, but that was fine because my wife and I were able to go up there and spend some time with family and to remember my grandfather and the legacy that he left. And it's made me question a lot of things that, not question, but obviously when you go to a funeral or you reflect on somebody's life after they've passed away, you start to question, well, what am I doing and what am I leaving behind? And so I had some deep conversations with my brothers and other family members, you know, like how do you leave a legacy behind? And Howard, you were talking about the constitutional framework of our founders right before the break and how we've kind of fallen away from that. But as we look at history and you look at these gentlemen that put together, and not even just men, but there are women behind these great men as well, and how they framed our country for us, and to have those individuals in your family tree would be, I would think, an amazing thing and something that I would be telling everybody. I come from, you know, so-and-so's in my family tree. And when I was reflecting on what legacy am I leaving, I'm thinking, well, how do you do that? How do you leave a legacy? One thought came to mind. I'm thinking, well, I got to get my name on something. Like, can I get a school named after me or something? Those tend to stick around for quite a while. Or a statue of myself somewhere. Howard, do you want... Right next to your Statue of Liberty that you're putting up, your replica, I want my bust. No, this is what I want. I want to be on a horse, shirtless, with a sword in the air, right next to your Statue of Liberty. So that's what I want, with my name placard. I think it's funny because as we were going through my grandfather's journal entries, it's interesting to look back, and I'm so glad that he kept a journal here and there. A lot of it was retrospective, so it wasn't that he was keeping a journal in the moment. It was, I'm looking back after, you know, 10, 20 years have passed, and he was writing things like that. But it's interesting to see perspective as he looked back on his life and wrote these things that were important to him, and it wasn't all good stuff. I mean, it was hard stuff to talk about and that he went through. And what it showed me was that he was human, and as a grandson growing up, watching my grandfather, I was always scared of him because he didn't talk a lot, and you didn't want to mess up or break something around him because I knew I would get you know, reamed for that. But I still loved him, and I still had an affection for him, and I just tried to always stay in line. I didn't want to do something that Grandpa would get mad at me for. And I knew that he served in the war. He was in Korea during that war. And as I'm looking back on his journal entries, it's really, I didn't realize, I guess, you know, I don't know if we really study a lot of the Korea conflict in school. We talk about World War II. We talk about World War I. Talk about Vietnam. Korea, not, I don't remember studying that. I'm sure we did, but I just probably wasn't paying attention. But I didn't realize it was 4 years after World War II had ended. So World War II ends, 4 years later, the Korea War begins, and that's when my grandfather went into it right at the very beginning, and he wasn't really in combat, I don't think. He was in the Air Force, and so his job, he was a weatherman. His job was to tell people if they could fly or not on a particular day. Was the visibility good? He had air balloons that he would send up and stuff like that. So I don't think he was directly being shot at or shooting at other people, but he was keeping people up or down in aircraft so that they could do the things that they needed to do. But like I mentioned before, you read through his entries and looking back on this man's life, things that he had told me over time, but now there are some more details involved, and I'm thinking, man, he was not perfect, and either am I, but he still got through this hard stuff, and to get through that stuff and then put on a brave face and to move forward is really what it's all about. And that really gave me encouragement to do so in my life. So when bad things happen or things out of my control or it's really hard, how am I going to respond to that? I think a lot of people, that's their test, is when a bad thing happens in their life or something faces them that they were not prepared for, a lot of people, I would argue, probably crumble in the face of that, or they collapse without help around them. Some people have the drive or the wherewithal to see the big picture. I don't think a lot of people do, but those that do have a tendency to make it through those hard things. I think as we look back at those that came before us, that's one of the ways that you can get through hard things. And as I experienced reading my grandfather's journals and being at the funeral and being with family, and we talk about these hard things through these points in his life and in our lives that we had to go through, we start to see, oh my gosh, we can do this. We can get through hard things. Hard things are happening right now. I mean, we talk about inflation. You talk about rising prices at the pump. And that has happened before. I don't remember it. I was too small to remember the Carter era. But you gentlemen, Russ and Howard, you remember going to the pump and having to wait in line to get your gas on your particular day of the week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Cody and I, we haven't experienced that. We were babies at the time when that was happening.
I hope you get your chance.
It looks like it's coming. We've burned gas. I took a trip with my I'm in my church. I volunteered my time with the youth group, the young, what we call the young men, age 12 to 14. That's who I volunteer my time with. And we went on a church trip over to San Diego 2 weekends ago. And I was asked to use my vehicle. I have a big van that's diesel. And when I filled up over in San Diego, it was $6.29 a gallon. When I had to come back home, you know, and going up over those mountains and stuff, I burned in that big old van. You're just like, you're chugging the gas, but it's okay. You know, it is what I had to do to get them there and back. But I'm thinking $6.29. Are you kidding me? I remember when I was in high school, I think it was under a dollar. I think it was 86 cents a gallon. That's for regular, you know, unleaded.
$6.29. Is good right now for San Diego.
Is it?
Oh, it's over $7. It's like $7.50,
sure it is.
$7.60.
This was 2 weeks ago. This was 2 weekends ago. So, we're living in a weird time, but I don't think it's something that we haven't seen before. As I hear I haven't studied very much, but you gentlemen would know more than I do during that Carter era near the end of his presidency, how inflation just spiked up, and you had the problems at the pump, and then Reagan comes in and introduces Reagan economics and Reaganomics, I guess you would say, and everything kind of starts to get back to balanced, let's say. Those prices started to come down. So what was the goal there, or what was the key there, and how do we learn from that experience now?
Well, the reason we had so many lines was because of the price controls that were introduced by Richard Nixon. And price controls, that's exactly what that does, okay? It causes shortages. And so now you have to figure out a way to distribute the gasoline. There's only two ways to do it. You either ration it out, government does that, I guess, or you let the free market price do it. Now, we're letting the free market price do it right now. That's why we don't have lines, okay? Now, if you really want to say what the cost of gasoline is, it's still only 25 cents. It would still have to, but it would have to be a silver 25-cent piece. It's not that the price of gasoline has gone up. It's the value of our money has been depreciated. And that's depreciated by one entity and one entity only. It's called the Federal Reserve System, which was created by Congress back in 1913. At the same time, the income tax was created. Not too coincidental, because that's how you grind, as Mr. Lenin would say, and did say, you grind them between the debauchery of the currency and taxing them to death. And that's what's happening to us today. The government is in charge of things that it's not supposed to be in charge of. Okay? Again, we're going back to the United States Constitution. Article 1, Section 8. Lays it all out what Congress's responsibilities are. Congress had no authority to create the Federal Reserve System. We would have needed a constitutional amendment to do that, because Congress is the one that's in charge of coining money, not printing money, not emitting bills of credit, as our founders would call it. They're in charge of coining the money. And that's why our money was made out of silver and gold. And ever since we've gotten off that, we've seen how our currency is depreciating faster than you can shake a stick at. And so, you know, prices will continue to go up, but it's not really prices going up. It's the value of our money depreciating. So The point is we need to corral our national government, but we need to have people elected to office that understand this. Very few people in Congress understand any of this stuff. Or if they do, they're not doing anything about it. You know, it's one or the other.
What I don't appreciate, and we were talking about this in a family discussion yesterday. Mm-hmm. We started talking politics and things like that, and that can get crazy, but it didn't in this particular case. Mm-hmm. As long as you keep your cool and you argue your points in mm-hmm. such a way that it's like, listen, this is how I feel or this is what I think, but I'm just putting it out there in such a way that I'm open to hear your opinion and then see if we can come to a consensus here. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But I enjoy hearing other people's opinions. They have different ideas because they've done different things in their lives or they've been involved in different things that I have not in most cases. And so it's really interesting to hear other people and their opinion, even if it doesn't jive with mine. And mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to. And that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. But I can learn from anybody that I talk with. And as we were having discussions yesterday in our family, I brought up, I don't like the messaging currently coming out of the White House. I don't like it, and I don't care who the president is. I don't care who the press secretary is. I don't like it when they tell us that, or they cast blame on other people, or they push it off on other people. Specifically when we're talking about inflation, we're talking about prices at the pump that really we all are involved in. I don't like it when they say, oh, it's because of Putin over here, or it's because of this, that, or the other, pointing fingers everywhere else, but where we actually know the blame is. If we were to open up domestic drilling, we would be able to control the prices at the pump. But because of the poor policies that are currently in place, now we are self-inflicting harm on ourselves as a nation. And that's not to say that that's okay, but at least admit it. Admit that your policies are not working to our best interest and that you're going to do something about it. That's all. You don't have to say, oh, it's because of the Republicans or it's because of the Democrats or it's because of Putin over here. Just say, you know what? We implemented these policies. It doesn't look like it's working as well as we thought it would, but we're working on it. We're working on it. That's all you got to say. At least you're being honest. But I feel like it's disingenuous when you tell us disingenuous and you're treating us as if we're stupid. Like we don't understand. We really think it's Putin over here that is causing all this, or you think it's this issue that we know what the issue is and we know what's causing it. So don't tell us it's something else. It's a misdirection and it's dishonest and it loses credibility. I think everybody's kind of turning on the White House, Democrats and Republicans alike right now. And I think the White House could do themselves a favor if they just acknowledge, hey, this isn't working what we're doing, and we're acknowledging that, and we're to blame. We're to blame for this, that, or the other, but we're working on it. That would give me more credibility in that administration than day after day standing up and telling us something that I know to be wrong and expecting us to believe what they're feeding to us. That's just disingenuous to me, and it loses confidence faster than anything else. A good leader is able to stand up there and say, you know what, I'm human. I thought this was going to work. We really thought it was going to work. It's not working as well as we thought, but we're working on it. We're working on it. And you take ownership of it, and you start to bring in other ideas that can help you fix the issue.
Adam, it's going to take people to acknowledge that what government officials are doing are all anti-constitutional. There's no authority for the federal government to get involved with drilling for oil. There isn't. You can't find it in the United States Constitution. This is the problem. The problem is we have government doing things outside of the U.S. Constitution, and it needs to be brought back in under the Constitution. The Constitution is set up to restrict the federal government to doing certain specific things. That's it. Otherwise, it's up to the states or the people to deal with it. In other words, we have to endorse a free enterprise system. We don't have a free enterprise system. Okay? We don't have one. We have a socialist system in this country, or maybe a fascist system where major companies are involved with the government. Okay? But we certainly don't have a free enterprise system. A free enterprise system is a system whereby enterprise, trade, is free of any government intervention. No government intervention at all. And I know we get epileptic about this because, oh my God, how would this happen if government didn't do it? Unfortunately, our brains are wired this way today for some reason. We automatically think, oh, it's government's responsibility. It's not. It's our responsibility. To be a free person takes a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility to be free. It's very easy to be a slave. It takes no effort at all.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Every day connected, comfortable, reliable. Every day you count on power for everything from your smartphone to your air conditioning. At APS, we work around the clock to deliver some of the most reliable service in the country. We invest in infrastructure upgrades across Arizona. We prepare for storms and keep you informed with alerts as we work safely to restore power. Together, all of us can help make every day brighter. Find ways to stay safe and informed at APS.com/brighter.
Just how committed are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to open borders? So much that they support a disastrous plan to repeal Title 42. Title 42 allowed us to deport 1.7 million illegals. Repealing it will cause illegal crossings to triple. And Biden and Harris have an ally in Democratic governor candidate Katie Hobbs. While other Democrats run for cover, Hobbs stayed loyal to Biden and Harris. Here's what Hobbs had to say about Title 42.
Katie Hobbs slammed the policy, saying that it wasn't working.
Title 42 isn't working.
Now, under pressure, Hobbs is trying to flip-flop, but you heard Hobbs in her own words.
Title 42 isn't working.
Conservative outsider Karen Taylor Robeson has a tough six-point plan to secure our border and finish the wall. Karen has always opposed repealing Title 42. Hobbs stood with Biden-Harris. Karen stands with us. Read Karen's detailed plan to secure the border at KarenForArizona.com. Karen Taylor Robeson for governor. Paid for by Karen for Arizona. Authorized by Karen Taylor Robeson.
The hardest thing to measure for most small companies is advertising return on investment, or ROI. Would it surprise you to know that most radio stations offer the highest ROI in advertising? Think 9, 13, in some cases 23-to-1 return when it's done correctly, which is long-term with a consumer focus. We can help you achieve that, but only if you want to. Go ahead and take the first step. Book an appointment with one of our marketing experts. Go to yumaadvertising.com right now and take the first step toward marketing success.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons and stuff, drinking his morning brew.
Kool-Aid.
There you go, drinking the Kool-Aid. And then we've got Howard, a constitutional guru, and Cody, our sideshow Bob.
Whatever.
If you're familiar with The Simpsons, we prior to the
you're my attorney.
Prior to the break, we were talking about some of the beef I've had as of late with the White House and their messaging, and really the tangent that I went off on was I think it's disingenuous to release press announcements or for the president to get up there and say, we're experiencing this issue and this issue and this issue because of this person over here or this over here. You start pointing fingers everywhere else, where I think it's very disingenuous, as if they're treating us as if we're stupid, as if we don't understand economics as if we don't understand the prices at the pump and where that, how that actually happens, and we're going to fall for it, really. I think they would do themselves more justice and garner more respect by just telling the truth. And I think any good leader can do that, whether it's the president of the United States or it's a person in your local HOA organization. I think the key to good leadership is acknowledging that there's a problem, being honest with yourself and with those around you about, okay, we recognize that there is a problem, and I probably might have had a little bit of a hand in that, but we're working on it. We're going to try and work on it. And that will garner more respect. And it doesn't matter if you agree with the person or don't. That would garner more respect with me if the White House would come out and say things like that.
I'd like to hear a little bit about the plan, too. Like,
yeah.
What's your plan to get out of it?
Sometimes there's no plan. And that's okay. But say that. Listen, we are working on it. Right now, we don't have a finite plan that will fix this issue, but we've got a lot of smart people working on some ideas. Okay, that's good. Thank you for letting me know. Now I know where we stand.
Well, there's a plan. You just go back to honoring the Constitution.
Yeah, and that, you know, right.
Extricate yourself from those things that are not authorized in the U.S. Constitution. It's very simple. So get rid of the Federal Reserve System.
Over the break,
get rid of the income tax.
Over the break, Howard, you said something like, well, that's never going to happen because a person, it takes a lot for a person to admit that they're wrong or to say something, especially publicly and especially a politician.
True.
One of my biggest, we were talking about this over the break as well, is you'll hear something like, nowadays, we are so divided. We're the most divided we've ever been as a country. And I really don't subscribe to that because if you do your history, I mean, they were divided from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Jefferson and Hamilton, not fans of each other. Washington gave Jefferson the option. He said, listen, if you don't resign, I'm going to fire you. And Jefferson said, oh, I guess I'll resign then because I want to leave. Because Jefferson was doing things behind Washington's back that Washington didn't agree with and didn't know about. Once it came out, Washington said, listen, that was inappropriate, and I know you're working on these shady things behind my back, so you can either resign or I'm going to fire you. And Jefferson resigned. So this has been this way since the beginning. There are differing opinions, but what I don't like, the culture now is such that if you watch a Senate hearing, for example, you'll hear one of the senators, Blackburn, let's say. Senator Blackburn, she'll say something like, well, this, that, and the other because the Democrats did this, that, and the other. And then you'll hear a Democrat on that panel say something like, well, it's because the Republicans did this, that, or the Republican this, that. So you're pointing blame to the other side. And as an American, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I care about the price at the pump. I care about the inflation numbers. And so when we send you to the Senate to get a job done, I would prefer that you come out of the Senate or when you're in public saying, we as senators, we as the Senate are working on it. We are working on this bill. We're working on that bill. And I think it would garner more respect with us as the American people to be united and take ownership of what's going on.
You know, you surprised me. I thought you'd be more outraged today about the Supreme Court thing. The president has come out and supported protesting the justices, even though there's specific laws against it, because he says the laws are unconstitutional. And we're not going to wait for the Supreme Court to decide that.
And this is an interesting case. Number one, because those that are protesting, I don't think they understand what Roe v. Wade is actually doing.
Correct.
And number two, for an opinion that was leaked like that, to come public before publication or before it's even been decided is really unprecedented. And this is new water that we're navigating. And at the same time, that opinion wasn't even the final. They go through multiple opinions. Yeah. And it might have not been the actual opinion of the court anyway.
Yeah.
Each of those justices are having their clerks do different things, tons and tons of research, and drafting up different revisions of their particular stance on things. And so what we saw that was leaked, it might have not even been the majority opinion. Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah. And so obviously it was to do damage to the court. My first gut reaction was this was an action of malintent in order to pack the court. How you get there, I'm not quite sure. I haven't worked that out in my mind, but the idea was that the Biden administration had been talking about the possibility of packing a court. How do you get the public to buy in on that? Because the public generally, even Democrats, were not in favor of that. They weren't in favor of packing the court because it can go both ways. When you have a Republican president in office, they could pack the court in their favor. Mm-hmm. So all around, it's not a good idea. And the general public is on board with that's not a good idea. So how do you degrade the validity of a Supreme Court in the eyes of the general public?
It's not even legal.
Well, number one, you could say, well, look, they're really old and they don't even know how to keep under wraps these opinions and they're going to do radical things. And therefore, you start to deride the validity or the sanctity, let's say, of the Supreme Court and the people that are part of it. And in the public's opinion now starts to go down. And so obviously they need help. They need help. And the only way you can do that is to give them more help by expanding the amount of justices that they have on there.
It's crazy.
That was my first initial thought when I saw that leak of that opinion.
But you've got Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and everyone supporting the protest, and the DOJ is not going to stop it. In fact, they've told Virginia, the state of Virginia, to stand down.
Interesting. I don't know. I haven't looked at the legalities of protesting a leaked opinion that's not even law. I would say protest all you want. You know,
it's against the law to protest the judicial system, and there are laws on the books for that, specifically spelling out the Supreme Court.
That's interesting to me.
What do you mean by that? Why can't you?
You cannot protest on the steps of the Supreme Court.
At the steps. Okay.
No, you can't at their houses either. It's all written in there. Okay. At their houses
or
anything
else. But you can protest the judicial system.
Not directly to their house. Not to the jurors. You can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do it to this. You can do it in the public square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
but not at the Supreme Court.
I was going to say because I as far as protests and things like that, that's in our country's fabric. You know, protest all you want. But within the bounds of reason, you're not going to go to the person's house
can you go to a senator's house and protest that person?
Yes, you can.
Or a representative?
Yeah, you can. Elected officials, you can. You can't the courts.
That's interesting.
You can go to their personal homes?
Yeah.
The thing about it is that the Supreme Court, they're not going to sway their opinion. I mean, those people are not such that...
Clarence Thomas finally spoke out. Now, he never says anything, but he came out and spoke out, you know, his disappointment of and he made it political. That this is a political thing, and he didn't say the word political, but he was talking about the other side, you know, attacks and does all that, and protests at your home and all that. But he also said the Rehnquist court wouldn't let this happen.
Interesting.
And John Roberts would, and I thought, well, wow, that's out of line for Thomas. I mean, there's still
he called out John Roberts.
He did.
Ah, interesting.
Wow.
That it wasn't there was a lot more trust under Rehnquist than there is under Roberts.
In what regard?
Didn't say specifically.
The leak itself?
Didn't say specifically, but just said trust.
Or speaking out on behalf of the court.
Yeah,
there's some articles out there.
Other items or other events that have taken.
You're running late for break.
We got to go to break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
tippingpoint.com.
So what will your tipping point be? For some, it's tipping the scales at 300 pounds. For some, it's 200. And for some, it's not even a number. Hi, this is Zola from PlanZDiet.com. We survey our dieters and ask them why they decided to do Plan Z. You know the most popular answer? Guess. It's because they hurt. Their knees hurt. Their hips hurt. They just hurt and they can't stand the pain of carrying around the extra weight anymore. Not far behind that answer is their doctor telling them they're on the tipping point of becoming type 2 diabetic. They get hit in the face with that news and decide it's time to take care of themselves for once. They come to Plan Z for help, and help them we do. We give them our patented ZR50 Crave Control Spray that not only helps the cravings for sugar, but also has an ingredient in there that helps relieve the pain. People tell me that stuff is magic. It's not. It's science. But it's science that you won't get with any other diet. I guarantee it, and I guarantee you success with Plan Z. Check out PlanZDiet.com. Watch the 5-minute movie to learn more about Plan Z, and then let us help you.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. This is 560 AM KBLU. And prior to the break, we were talking about, Russ brought up the recent happenings in the Supreme Court and the leak gate from the Supreme Court, from SCOTUS, and the repercussions that's having. We're seeing riots, and not riots, I would say, but protests in front of the Supreme Court steps and as well as the justices' houses, their personal houses. And Russ had made mention, and I haven't looked at the law on this, but Russ, you had mentioned that it's your understanding that that's against the law.
Yeah.
You can peacefully protest in a public square, but not at the Supreme Court specifically and not at the justices' house.
Because it's trying to influence decisions.
Yeah, and I understand that.
Protesting at a representative's house, you're trying to influence a vote.
Federal law, 18 U.S. Code section 1507 states whoever with the intent of influencing any judge near a building or residency occupied or used by such judge shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, so that's an interesting turn of events, because the first thing that pops into my mind is the January 6th thing. You know, you had people enter the actual Capitol, and they're gone. They're being treated like Guantanamo inmates.
Solitary confinement for a year and a half.
In D.C. And no, they have not brought any...
No due process.
No charges. No, they haven't been in front of a judge. They are just locked away and haven't been able to have any rights. And nobody's talking about that. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Scary.
I wonder if they're doing that. And I haven't looked into this. This is just conjecture on my part, so don't take it as gospel. Take everything else I say as gospel, but not this. I'm just kidding. But I wonder if what they're doing, and this was what I was worried about with the Bush Jr. administration when we went into Iraq, is we started to get into the territory of saying, well, if you are branded as a terrorist, then you are not eligible for what we would consider due process rights. You have a right to know who your accuser is. Mm-hmm. You have a right to a fair trial, and you have a right to know what are the charges against you so that you can adequately defend them. And then you have a right to counsel and things like that.
But they kept them in Cuba off U.S. soil. Our guys are on U.S. soil. I don't know how that works.
Well, yeah.
Because when you're off U.S. matter. Soil, you don't have to follow the Constitution.
Correct. But our guys right now, the guys January 6th, are in Washington, D.C., a prison in Washington, D.C., being held as the political prisoners.
Well, and maybe this has something to do with the fact that Washington, D.C.
is not a state.
Is a territory. And I don't know if...
What? No.
So
I don't know if people living in territories of the United States have the same rights as citizens.
What I do know is that during the Iraq War, very early on, President Bush used his war powers, obviously, to go into Iraq, and so he petitioned Congress to jump on board with that and to issue a declaration of war.
No, and they never issued a declaration of war.
Yeah, that's what I argued that once in law school, and my professor said I was wrong. So well, I agree with you.
Well, your professor was wrong. Sorry.
That's what I thought, but I can't tell her that. So I'm on board with you, Howard, but what happened was they did Congress, the Senate issued a declaration, and I guess it could be interpreted as invoking the war powers, which allowed us to invade Iraq. And early on there, where we started to catch some of these individuals that were not U.S. citizens, but they were known as terrorists, they were part of Al-Qaeda or doing bad things, or they had known ties or had killed Americans, instead of bringing them back all the way to the United States and trying them as a U.S. citizen would be tried, Congress came up with a new word or definition, which we call an enemy combatant.
Yeah.
An enemy combatant was not subject to due process under the Constitution. But what tended to happen was now we're catching people that were maybe some radical individuals that were homegrown in the United States that made their way over to the Iraq conflict and were fighting against the United States with Al-Qaeda. And we're catching those individuals as well. But they were labeled as enemy combatants. Therefore, they weren't subject to due process. I don't know if this is happening to the January 6th individuals, but the bigger concept here is what I want the listeners to understand. It doesn't matter if the president is Republican or Democrat or the party affiliation. What we have to be able to do as individuals here in the United States is keep our presidents in check, because over time, from administration to administration, once you get into those waters of it's not explicitly stated or expressly stated in the Constitution as to what an enemy combatant is. Congress defined that as such and such and such. And because of that, then these individuals lose their due process rights, whether they're a citizen now or not. Because what happened was when the Obama administration came in, now the question is, well, what happens if a person's caught here in the United States or a drone is surveilling a person's house and we feel like, oh, they're a domestic terrorist and therefore they're an enemy combatant. Once you label them as such, the fear during the Obama administration was, can he, without any due process, kill a person if they're labeled as an enemy combatant here on U.S. soil using a drone? Because he did that. He did that abroad in Iraq. The government decided, well, this person is an enemy combatant, therefore they're not subject to due process rights or a fair trial under our Constitution. So we sent in drones and we would kill people. We would blow up their houses. Family members are involved in that. Sometimes, you know, you got collateral damage. The moral of the story is they did not have an opportunity to go in front of a judge because we bombed them at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're in bed. And they're gone now. So what the question during the Obama administration, once this started happening, where you're blowing people up because they're labeled as an enemy combatant and therefore not subject to due process rights, the fear was, well, what stops the president of the United States from doing that here locally on U.S. soil? Because he did it, the Obama administration did it to a U.S. citizen that was, like I said, radicalized. He's a U.S.-born individual from California. He made his way over to Iraq. He got radicalized online as he participated in these forums and stuff. And so he started to hate the United States of America, and he joined the Al-Qaeda side. And he was one of those individuals that got bombed in the middle of the night by a drone attack.
It's because the United States has now been converted to a national security state and is no longer a representative republic, constitutional republic. That's how he gets away with it.
And this is a big draw. I mean, I started by talking about the January 6th individuals, right? That's what I haven't looked at it deeply, but my first knee-jerk reaction is that these individuals are probably being treated as domestic terrorists in such a way that they've labeled them as enemy combatants, in quotation marks.
Under the Patriot Act.
Yeah, and so
again, the Patriot Act.
So maybe they're not subject to due process. Maybe I don't know, but they're definitely not getting it.
It's the first time it's ever been used,
which is another unconstitutional law.
Yes.
Absolutely, to be held, right? That's against.
It all goes back to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're running out of time. What I would encourage you guys to do is keep doing the good work here in our community, among your friends and among your family. There was a new, just a quick plug here. If you haven't seen it already, there was a new movie that came out by Dinesh D'Souza that it's called 2000 Mules. That's a really good one. Go into that with an open mind. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see it. And we'll be back next Monday.
Questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.